Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. Did you know that January 21st is National Hugging Day?
Yeehaw!
This day encourages us to express affection and appreciation through hugs. What better way to lift our winter spirits than by exploring the benefits of consensual touch for our emotional and mental well-being? So, whether you're a hugger, a high-fiver, or somewhere in between, you'll want to stay tuned for this one.
I just love a good hug. I'm so excited about this episode because there's so many benefits, as we've talked about in the past. But really, it's just that idea of connection. So important.
Connection. Quick fun fact. Merriam-Webster's etymology says hug may be of Scandinavian origin, akin to Old Norse hugga, H-U-G-G-A, which means to soothe, and first appeared around 1567.
Hugga.
Let's start with the science of touch. Touch is considered one of our primary senses due to its fundamental role in human survival and development. Early humans relied on tactile sensations to understand their surroundings, identify food sources, and protect? That is not the word. And detect potential threats. The ability to feel temperature, texture, and pressure provided critical information that aided in avoiding dangers and pursuing safety.
Wow, I've never thought about that aspect of the history. I'm always thinking about, well, yeah, you know how they say skin contact with a baby is so important, and especially like for preemies, and it affects their physical health.
I'm like gonna go cuddle a baby.
Exponentially. I know. Let's just go cuddle some babies. I didn't even think about that it goes that far back where it was primal on that level.
Yeah.
That it was survivalist on that level. Wow. Mm-hmm.
As you just mentioned, skin-to-skin contact fosters bonding between a parent and a child. Touch is vital for brain development, even starting in infancy. And actually prenatally, because touch is one of those first senses that we get. So our mother's heartbeat and vibrations flow through the amniotic fluid. Like, that's what we feel on our bodies even before we enter the world.
Right, that heartbeat vibration is coming into the environment.
Because we can't see nothing.
And you can feel that. Right, that's our first experience.
There was an article I was reading that touch is our first language.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And I just love the simplicity of that. Touch is our first language.
Touch helps us regulate our emotions. Comforting interactions can reduce our stress and anxiety, promoting feelings of safety and calmness. Hugging releases oxytocin, also known as the bonding hormone, which further enhances our emotional well-being.
And that's one of the endorphins.
Really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The feel-goods.
Yeah. Feel-goods. More of that, please.
More feel-goods.
Yes, please.
Touch also has several physiological benefits, including reducing cortisol levels. And Karen, you know your cortisol spiel.
Oh, yeah. All about lowering cortisol and adrenaline for well-being.
So reducing our cortisol levels leads to decreased feelings of anxiety and stress and can also lower our heart rate and blood pressure, contributing to our cardiovascular health. I'm sensing a theme. Positive touch can boost our immune system by enhancing our emotional well-being.
Positive touch, yeah. When my kids have been at their dad's or with my daughter at college, when they come back to me, they, each of them, in their own space, in their own time, come into me for a hug. And it's not just like a quick little, it's like a real reconnect. Let's reconnect. Let's have that transference of energy and love hug. They are in two very different chapters of their lives, and it feels
recentering.
It's just so beautiful. Gosh, it feels so good.
Touch is a powerful form of nonverbal communication, conveying emotions that words may not fully express.
Now, we've already talked about the fact that most communication, 93% of communication is nonverbal.
Yes. A gentle touch can indicate empathy and support, while a firm touch may convey assertiveness or urgency. My brain did the thing, you know, like the mom hands, like when you're driving and you have a kid in the front seat and you put your hand out on them.
Even if your elbow distends, you're like, you're safe. Yeah.
Safe. Touch fosters social connections, strengthens our relationships, and builds trust and loyalty among friends, family, and partners. For instance, holding hands during difficult times enhances feelings of solidarity and unity. When you were telling me the story earlier about having a deep conversation and holding hands, I was like, yes.
It was a thing that popped into my head when you said that. I was like, just
it's something that instinctively happens. And even when we're in conflict with someone else, holding hands brings down the level of conflict because we are seeking unity, solidarity in whatever this big thing is that we're talking about.
It's like a physical bridge. Mm-hmm. That connection can be the bridge, the pivotal thing.
Because it's hard to be too high up in your energy if you are physically connected to somebody.
You can't get super like defensive if you're literally holding on to that person. Like something about that is going to ease the exchange.
Yes. I found a study by psychologist Matthew Hertenstein from DePaul University that highlighted the significance of touch in our interactions. His studies revealed that different types of touches can communicate a range of emotions such as love, gratitude, or sympathy, often more effectively than verbal communication. His work underscores how touch can bridge emotional gaps and facilitate deeper connections, illustrating its vital role in maintaining healthy relationships. So, study. Like, he had the touchers attempt to convey an emotion, and everybody was like, well, you know, the probability of the person receiving the touch, guessing this right, is going to be super low. It's just going to be, like, less than 25%, which is just, like, incidental chance. It was, like, 68, around 70% that the emotion being conveyed in the touch was identified correctly.
Was transferred, identified, received, vibrated, touch. And oh, wow. Oh, no.
It was like, wow. Because you would think, like, okay, sure, yeah.
I mean, like, maybe 50-50. Maybe. Like, I know there's a couple choices, but maybe it's like maybe 50-50. It's this.
No.
70%.
Yeah. That just touch. That's very powerful. So there's something that is happening neurologically, subconsciously, that we are communicating when we touch.
We're communicating on an energetic level. It's like a subatomic particle level that we're transmitting this information from one to another when we have that connection of touch. You can do it without touch to an extent if you're really dialed in and focused, but that's just that immediacy, that bridge that we just talked about with holding hands. That's like, yes, I'm going to transfer this to you.
Yeah, and I think too, when I was bordering on dysregulation and you came over and we talked through all the things, I put on my comedy show. It's not comedy, it was real life. It was crazy. And then at the end, we hugged and I felt like our hearts did a little high five, like welcome back from the edge of dysregulation.
Yes, welcome back to peace. To
it was a great
hug. Yourself.
Like you're like heart high fives. Heart. I'm like, did you feel that? Was that just me? Like, what happened?
That was heart to heart. I will say that I switch sides of hugs. People go to the opposite side. They want to do right shoulder to right shoulder. I'm like, nope. And I shift them. And I'm like, heart to heart. That's what we're doing. That's how I'm rolling.
That's how we hug.
Yeah.
I don't want to gloss over some of the challenges that some of us may have when it comes to touch. Yes. Touch is indeed a powerful form of communication, but it also comes with its own set of challenges, and it's essential to acknowledge the complexities involved.
There's so many layers, and some people are not responsible about the way they use touch.
Right? Okay. So one of the areas I want to explore is personal boundaries. Everyone has their own comfort levels regarding physical touch, which varies from person to person.
Yes, it's a very individual preference.
The fact that we all have our own personal boundaries emphasizes the necessity of clear communication about your boundaries in all of your relationships, whether romantic, platonic, or professional. When we understand and respect each other's boundaries, we foster trust and mutual respect.
Yes. And, you know, our culture, can we just say the things, please? Can we just not assume or make the assumptions or not communicate and just do the thing? Can we just say, this is how I experience this, or this is what I prefer? If we can just get it out on the table, like how someone prefers to connect or communicate or even solve challenges, whatever it is, Let's just say what the thing is. Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, well, you know, one of the phrases that really just bothers me. Oh, well, it's just common sense or common whatever. And I'm like, but is it?
Is it?
Just because you know it don't mean I know it. So therefore, I'm going to tell you.
Right.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about, or I don't know what you need. Could you just tell me what you need? I'm going to tell you what I need, or I'm going to tell you if this don't work for me.
Right. Like, your experience doesn't necessarily mean that's someone else's experience or preference.
Exactly.
Being clear when you're setting boundaries is never a bad thing.
Oh my goodness. Because it eliminates some of the confusion that comes when we are not clear and intentional about our boundaries. I could be like a hugger, and then I go in to hug you, and then you turn me away, and then my brain internalizes that as something else.
She mad at me.
What's going on?
Yeah. Right.
Wait, exactly. You're just not a hugger.
Right. It might just be as simple as that. I'm a huge hugger. You already know this about me. But this is just an example. And yeah, I think it's really important to just communicate preferences and honor that when someone tells you that.
Absolutely. In honoring someone's personal boundaries and their preferences, consent is key. Y'all.
Consent is key.
Consent should always be sought before initiating any form of physical contact, including hugging.
Mm. You might feel like this hug is such a sweet, precious, it might feel that way to you. Someone else might see it as threatening or as just too close, too much in their space.
So maybe just ask your people, are you comfortable with me hugging you right now? Before you just lean in. If y'all ain't established your hugging relationship,
have that conversation. Have that conversation.
And then you, as the intended hugger, pay attention to those nonverbal cues like body language and facial expression. So if you're going in for a hug, a high five, a kiss, whatever, and the person leans away or avoids eye contact, maybe they don't want that.
Right. If you see their shoulders stiffen up into their ears, like, it's probably not a good idea.
They're tensing up. You might want to back off. Tight.
Yeah.
And in those situations, it's imperative to acknowledge and respect their feelings without pressing the matter.
Because you want this and you think it'll be good for them does not mean it's what's going to happen.
Also, quick reminder, consent is not a one-time agreement.
I am having conversations with my son already.
Mm-hmm.
He is just 12, but I'm having conversations with him. His dad is having conversations with him about consent. Yeah. In all the ways, and to just know down to his soul, down to his core, that each and every time you get consent, you ask for consent.
Consent is not a one-time agreement. Mm. It should be an ongoing conversation. Always prioritize the comfort and autonomy of others, ensuring that any physical interaction is mutually desired and welcomed.
Ooh, yes.
Another challenge surrounding touch would come from cultural variations.
Mm.
Across the globe, across your city, in your house.
in your very own house.
We have a rich tapestry of norms and practices related to physical touch, each with unique significance and intent. Understanding these distinctions is crucial and can help us navigate social interactions more effectively and avoid potential misunderstandings or uncomfortable situations.
You know, I gotta say, it's given me pause because I am such a hugger. And I will, if I feel like I've connected with somebody, I mean almost a virtual stranger, and like we're talking long enough, I will think to myself, I can definitely hug this person. Like, so it's just reminding me, like, not necessarily. Like,
I've seen you in your initial reactions with strangers. And by the end of it, y'all done talked long enough that y'all friends now.
Exactly.
And there's a hug that happens at the end to close out your interaction with this person.
The energetic exchange. Yeah, it's true.
All right. So since touch is such a vital role in our well-being, I also wanted to explore touch in unconventional settings, such as
therapeutic.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm thinking about like pets therapy. And like people like petting pets, like how
did
that
you like hack into my document?
I
like,
do not.
You
do?
All right.
Okay. Wow.
So,
cool.
Touch therapy, especially trauma healing. Touch therapy, often called somatic experiencing or developmental touch, helps us process trauma. This form of therapy emphasizes the importance of body awareness and physical sensations, allowing us to reconnect with our bodies in safe and supportive environments.
It's like you integrate your emotions in your physical body. That's what somatizing is to, you know, and sometimes it happens to a malfunction way, right? And sometimes there can then be healing, reversing that. Yeah.
Another form of touch therapy would be massage therapy. Different types of massage can assist in physical rehabilitation by promoting blood flow, reducing muscle tension, and alleviating pain. The healing properties of touch and massage can also reduce anxiety and enhance our overall emotional well-being. I love a good massage.
Do y'all heard, love, I, y'all do heard not love a good massage? I was waiting for you to finish that sentence because I was going to be like, yeah, we love massages.
I've also found, especially if I feel myself getting the beginnings of sickness, I'm more intentional about like, yeah, I'm going to go to my massage because I need to move things, be it lymphatically or whatever. But in those moments, I'm like, go ahead and move some of these things through my body so they don't get stuck.
That is so aware, Tara. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that you do that because we talk about emotional processing all the time. But if we're starting to physically feel ill, when it gets to that point where something's happening, stuck in our energy or emotion experience, that it starts to present physically,
yes,
then you can use your body, this amazing body computer that we have, to access that and to move it along consciously, right?
Choosing
that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Whew. Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about these therapeutic relationships with our emotional support animals. We got puppies. National Hugging Day is also like Hug Your Puppy Day. So,
oh my goodness.
Also do that.
Okay.
But these beautiful beings provide non-judgmental companionship and incorporates the power of touch. So when we pet our pets, that's a weird sentence, we lower our cortisol levels and also release that oxytocin, which helps with bonding and promote relaxation and emotional healing.
When we pet our furry friend, they've measured how blood pressure drops, heart rate relaxes when you're just sitting with an animal and petting it. That's why it's so good. They bring them into assisted living facilities, senior centers, and even children's hospitals. So powerful.
Our furry friends also help with conditions such as PTSD, depression, and anxiety. There are organizations such as Paws for Healing and Canine Companions for Independence where they train our furry friends to support therapy sessions, which contribute to our emotional recovery through their comforting presence and therapeutic touch.
I feel like the energy of pets creates a safety for people. You don't have to express it. There's nothing to be said.
Yeah, there's...
Right? It's just there. They create safety.
And I think that goes both ways. Mm. They look to us for that as well.
Mm.
Okay. Other forms of touch in an unconventional setting or way that we don't think about is in occupational therapy. Through hands-on techniques, individuals regain motor skills and improve their quality of life after injury or illness. The tactile feedback helps patients recover, making us and them more aware of their body movements.
I am so amazed to this day. I've been to physical therapy for various reasons through the years. I am so amazed at how well it works, specifically speaking of my massage therapist, how she will find something and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Like,
it's so interesting, that connection, that correlation.
Another unconventional touch therapy technique is art therapy. Some forms of art therapy involve tactile experiences, such as using clay or painting with our hands, which allow for creative expression while also benefiting from the therapeutic touch in a creative process.
So tying creativity, last week's episode, with personal touch, that power of touch.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Have you, as an adult, experienced finger painting? Like, have you...
No.
When my children were smaller, I remember getting, you know, like a sheet of paper or even an old sheet and just digging in. It feels so, like, primal and fun and silly and comforting. Everybody go do some finger painting.
These applications highlight touch's versatility and the profound healing potential across various therapeutic contexts. Whether through human interaction or connection with animals, the power of touch fosters a supportive environment essential for emotional and physical well-being.
I love where you went with that because I was really, heading into this episode, I was like, we're going to talk about hugs.
You're going to talk about
some hugs. Maybe some high fives, but there's so much more depth. These are all forms of touch therapy. Mm-hmm. I love that. I've gone for a lymphedema massage, and it's so subtle. It's not like tissue massage. It's like surface of the skin, so light. But after 40 minutes of that, I can barely get off the table, and I feel high as a kite. I am just like, so many of those endorphins are running through my body. I have to take a few minutes before I can drive home after that, because I am in another place. Mm-hmm. It's the lightest touch. It's just consistent light touch, moving the lymphatic material around your body. It's amazing.
Know what else is amazing?
What?
Dancing.
Yes, it is. Talk about somatic experience and moving some things.
Let's move some things.
Tell us about the song, because I know the artist, but I didn't know the song.
Today's song talks about touch in terms of the ability to comfort, heal, and strengthen bonds between us. The song is Hold My Hand by Jess Glynn.
You're going to love dancing to this one.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
I love the disco vibes in the chorus. That is amazing. I love the lyrics. I was thinking about the fact that we didn't even talk about how we can hug ourselves. How you can literally just cross your arms and put them around yourself. And you can be that person for yourself as well if there's nobody readily available.
Mm-hmm. You should be that person for yourself first.
Mm-mm. Oh, that was so fun. Y'all, I hope you danced to that one, because that was, whoo, that was good. We were hustling.
We did the hustle. We were a little Saturday Night Fever. All right. Now that we've held our own hands, danced it out a little bit, it's time for the question of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Today's QOTD. How might increase...
I love QOTD.
How might increased awareness of the importance of touch improve mental health outcomes?
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
I feel that understanding the therapeutic benefits of touch, such as its ability to reduce stress and anxiety, can encourage us to seek out supportive environments where physical connection is encouraged. When we raise awareness about these benefits, we're more open to engage in practices like massage therapy, touch-based psychotherapy, and even simply seeking comfort from our friends and loved ones.
You know why they call it reaching out,
right? That's one of the things. I watched a video about some professor talking about touch, and he was like, so many of our phrases are related to the sense of touch. When saying someone is rude, but it's not saying they're rude, you say they are tactless. Which tactile, like you're out of
touch.
They
don't get it. You're out of touch.
You're out of touch.
So
many of our phrases.
Somebody saying, reach out to me if you need anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not, I mean, it's not communicative. Yeah, right. All of these things. Put your arms around a problem.
I'm trying to get my arms around it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we talked about touch and all the benefits. Did you have more to say?
No, go ahead.
Your answer? So I wanted to add the awareness that we can cultivate to make that connection between consensual physical touch and even hugging ourselves. That idea of comfort, which translates, that physical action translates into a chemical message.
Yes.
Which translates into a processing or a relaxation response, or just a level of comfort that 100% affects how we feel, like how we can either change perspective or feel safe or just feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that just changes everything, in my opinion.
It changes everything. 1,000 million billion percent.
That's a real number.
All right. I have a quote from Michelangelo, the Italian sculptor and painter.
Really?
And all. You know what this Renaissance artist said? He said, to touch is to give life.
Drop the mic. What? To touch is to give life. We're talking about that comfort, that physical, primal survival need for a touch gives life. Yes. And emotionally and physically.
Life. As we wrap up this episode on the power of touch, let's reflect on how touch is more than just a physical sensation. It's a cornerstone of human experience that strengthens our relationships and builds vibrant communities. In a world that can feel increasingly disconnected, embracing the power of touch reminds us of our bonds and ignites our feelings of warmth and joy. It reminds us that we are not alone in our journeys and that we can uplift those around us. So, explorers, as you go about your day, consider how to incorporate the power of touch into your life. Until next time, keep spreading warmth, connection, and understanding in everything you do.
I love that so much. I was going to reiterate about the importance of touch in connection and how that changes things for people. I see my mom's demeanor change when I give her several hugs in a row. It just changes things. So yeah, explore that. Incorporate the idea of the power of touch and where it's appropriate, how that can really change your experience or someone else's. Keep spreading the love. Keep being joyful. Keep keeping on. We love you so much. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.